This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Well, we finally got the audio of Kenny Atkinson sitting with the NBA TV crew during the Cavs Summer League game. And it was interesting for a lot of reasons, but his take on Evan Mobley, I think this plan might not work, but kudos on Kenny, Donovan, and the Cavs for the effort.
I don't want to put added pressure on him, but in these next 2 or 3 years, he's got to be in the MVP conversation. Talent-wise, I don't see why not. I'm not trying to oversell him or put pressure on him, but I was just out with him 2 days in L.A. watching him work out. He's got everything. It's going to be on us as coaches to empower him even more, on Donovan and Darius and those guys to empower him. And you can just see it when a guy starts to figure it out. You combine that with talent and the human being he is and the character he is, why shouldn't this guy put himself in the conversation?
What do you hear when you hear Kenny Atkinson say that, Spencer?
I think he's right. I think the way that Evan Mobley has been sold to us since he was drafted here, I think the way that he's progressed throughout his career to this point, and I do think he did take a leap this year. And frankly, like, I don't think, like, hearing him say that, I don't think adds pressure. Because it's
I actually disagree. Well, I think there is pressure, and I think that's kind of the point.
Well, I think there is pressure, but what I'm trying to say is I don't think that's any more like inflammatory or like crazy than hearing Kobe Altman at his end of season press conference stand there and tell us, "Hey, why do you think you don't need to change this roster?" And then he tells us, "Well, because development, and Evan Mobley's going to keep ascending, and the only place Evan Mobley can really keep ascending from here." Where he's now wins the Defensive Player of the Year award. We saw him become more of a focal point in the offense, but we left the playoffs feeling like he needed to be even more involved in the offense. The only place you really ascend from where he is right now is being a player that's in the MVP conversation. And frankly, Evan, there was that clip, which I at the time thought was like AI because the video was so terrible. There was the clip of Evan at the All-Star game this past year where he was asked, like, who's going to be, like, you know, who's going to be the best player in the NBA in like 5 years or something like that. And he flat out said like him and Wemby. That's what he said. So I think he even understands, not to say it doesn't add pressure with Kenny saying this, but I think he understands where he's supposed to end up, where he's supposed to go from here. And the Cavs keep telling us that they believe he's going to get there because that's their grand plan for figuring out how to get deeper to the playoffs is we have guys that are going to continue to develop. And again, if Evan Mobley's going to develop, the next step is kind of that MVP conversation being considered one of the best players in the league.
I don't think it was a mistake. I think this is very much a part of the Cavs' messaging of this summer.
I agree.
What Kenny said yesterday, and I think it goes in line with what Donovan said with Taylor Rooks, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, where he's like, yeah, we need him to call for the ball more. And now the difference is I do think there's a risk here. If the kid can't handle it, and he can't handle the pressure of this, you're going to see that bear out in real time. But if you're the Cavs, you have to figure out if Evan can be a NBA MVP candidate as soon as possible so that if you can't, you can pivot out of that as quickly. Like, this is the time. Next, is there ambition in some of this? Yeah, because he hasn't done it yet. But now is when you have to start finding that, because if he finds it 3 years from now as opposed to now, you're talking about 3 years where you could have competed for a championship if he just had taken that step.
Well, that's why I think those comments also add pressure to even Kenny Atkinson himself. Because if they're again, grand plan for us getting deeper in the playoffs, getting over this hump and this hurdle that continues to stand in their way is development. That's the thing they keep pointing to. Development, development, development. It's part of the reason they don't bring back Ty Jerome, and they're like, hey, Jalen Tyson, you're going to be more in the rotation next year. Okay. So that is on Kenny Atkinson and his coaching staff to also help foster that relationship.
So I'm glad you said that, because the developmental part of this to me is why I'm, you know, the offense stuff was the first thing I needed to see from Kenny. Now it's development. And listen, it starts with Evan, but then it goes to Jalen Tyson. It goes to Proctor, because, you know, you're with the way this thing is set up, the teams that develop over the next 3 to 5 years the best, and like we think about developing the best players.
It goes to Darius a little bit too.
The numbers crunch is going to be on the middle class of the NBA. It's going to be on guys where, like the Struces, like the eventual Jalen Tysons, guys like that. But specific to Kenny Atkinson, I think if next year you go out and you bounce out in the second round of the playoffs again, I think you're getting fired. We know Kenny's a good coach. We know he does the things you need to do to succeed in the postseason. This is about the roster. If Evan doesn't take another step next year or faces another playoffs where we're like, well, but he was good here, but he wasn't good here, and you don't see that step forward next year, yeah, I think player development is probably more in line with what could endanger a coach's job in this situation than just, well, you got bounced out in 7 games in the second round instead of a 5th round.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Like, at the end of the season, when there was the I think both Kobe Altman's, I don't know that, I think Kenny, like, alluded to it, but I think it was Kobe that kind of made it sound like more of an excuse, where it was like, well, hey, you know, a full year of Kenny Atkinson, and he can really put his mind to things, because last year he was coaching the French team, we know, in the Olympics, and so he was kind of back and forth, and he alluded to that. My thing, though, was like, that, like, I heard that from Kobe, and I just felt like it was an excuse. It felt like, oh, well, if he had had more time, then Evan might have been more involved in the offense, and then maybe we get past the Pacers. But I'm like, dude, like, Kenny came in here and sat up there and at his introductory press conference and talked about how part of the reason he took this job was because he was excited about the potential of Evan Mobley, the potential of Darius Garland, and how those guys function together and will continue to grow as young players in this league, and that he has all these great ideas in his head of how he's going to use him. And he sat there. I can go back and we can find the clip. He spent like a good like 3 minutes just gushing and telling all these, you know, great trade secrets about, like, we got to get the ball in Evan Mobley's hands more. We got to use Evan Mobley in this way more. We got to use the Evan Mobley in that way more. Like, he apparently had all these ideas. So then to get to the end of the season and the comment from Kobe Altman is just, well, hey, now Kenny's going to have more time on his hands to figure this out. I'm like, what are we doing?
I think there were some excuses there in the end of the season by Kobe. I kind of saw a little bit of the logic in that he didn't have a full offseason.
I get it.
But to me,
but it felt like an excuse. To me,
the excuse was, and this goes back to me pushing back on Donovan. When Donovan said he needs to call for the ball more, it's like, yeah, you also need to naturally find him more.
Yeah.
And
that's,
I think,
fair.
About the second half of that season, second half of that Indiana series, where Donovan couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from beyond the arc. Darius was inconsistent from minute to minute, let alone because he was hurt, let alone from quarter to quarter. And there were moments where Evan would get 3 straight possessions in the post, and the Pacers could not stop him.
Yeah, game 5, he dominated.
And every time that would happen, you would have a sustained run, and then they wouldn't have stopped him. But then the guards would go back to jacking up threes, and it's like, well, this is to me where it's like, yeah, okay, it's on Kenny. Kenny has to go to Donovan and be like, what the hell are you doing? We love you. You're a bulldog. You're not hitting it right now. Go to the kid. But Donovan has to recognize that.
It's twofold.
Think he does, by the way, because I think Donovan's a very heady guy. But, like, I hope this to me is like, it takes a village to raise an NBA superstar. I truly believe that. And the village has to make sure they're doing their part, because I don't doubt, like, from the work side of things, I don't doubt that Evan will do the work. That's nothing I've ever kind of doubted about him.
I think last year he showed a lot of that. Like he you saw sometimes we make too big of a deal out of like off-season videos of guys. Like it's the OB.
Sometimes.
It's like the OBJ.
I like it when sometimes there and not every damn time.
It's like the OBJ in the treadmill when he was coming back from his ACL injury and we were like, oh, OBJ is going to be back.
No,
and
it's
he was
worse
awful.
Though when we do it with lesser players. When it's like Skidmark Jones went out there and he looked fast in
the
video.
You mean like Deshaun posting videos in like full, he had the brown sleeves on, the brown shirt, the Browns cleats, the brown socks, the most Browns gear I've ever seen him wear. And he's working out where like he's like, ah, the comeback's gonna be better this time around. No, we all know what's happening here.
Quick sidebar, did you see when he got married, he had orange in his tux or it represented on his layers? And so it was like, he should take that out of there because he's not a real Brown. I was like, guys, it's Clemson. He loves Clemson.
That's fair.
All right, believe me, that orange ain't for you and me.
But regardless, like Evan, I think last offseason, you saw a lot of the work that he was putting in to be a better player. And then I think that translated on the floor. And I do think there was at least that initial step from Kenny and Donovan to get him more involved and make him more prominent and push him to demand things more. It does have to come from Evan, but I agree that Kenny, he had all these grand ideas. Okay, now you really got to force the issue. If you think this is your solution, if Evan Mobley is your meal ticket out of the second round of the playoffs, he's the gravy train that apparently is going to develop into the next great star player in this league that's going to help you advance deeper and deeper into the playoffs and compete for championships, then Kenny, you got to make sure you're prioritizing Evan. And to your point, Donovan, same thing. It can't always just be about you.
But it doesn't even just stop with those two guys. This is like, you know, nobody here wants to trade Darius or Donovan, and nobody here wants to trade Jared. They're great players and great dudes, and we love watching them play. But the number one reason why I thought it made sense splitting up Darius and Donovan for a more low-usage player in the backcourt and on the wing was so that we wouldn't have that extra step in between Evan and the ball. Yeah. You know, like
There's another ball handler in there that makes it.
Listen, you need a point guard. I understand that. But, like, you also need to be able, like, some of the point guard duties with, if you have enough guys who can facilitate, even if you don't have a true point guard, some of the natural facilitating can happen with your system. You got to find a way to remove the extra touches. If Evan's not getting the ball until 8 seconds on the clock, on the shot clock, what are you doing? Hey, by the way, Evan, drive if you can. Maybe do a step back or do a last-second Hail Mary to somebody on the wing. That can't be the offense anymore. And I know the offense is taking a big step. I'm happy with it. But, like, you got to get this kid more touches. And it can't just be, oh, he's not being assertive enough. I think that's where it's a bit of a cop-out to me.
You're saying blaming Evan is strictly a cop-out?
Yes.
Because you think okay.
Yeah, and that's, again, like, I don't want to trade Darius or Donovan. But long-term, there's the one little bit of skepticism I have about this plan is, I don't know he can get the touches he needs when you've got two ball-dominant guards out there who, by the way, there is a professional truce between the two of them. Like they like each other personally, but professionally there is a truce. There is natural tension because of both who gets credit and who gets the ball and who gets to take the last shot. And that's understandable given it was Darius's team before it was Donovan's. And all of Darius's wants in this are absolutely understandable. All right, here's what I want. I want Evan Mobley to get the ball as much as possible so that he can take as many free throws as he can, so he can start taking more threes, so that he can get that ball in the post and make everyone his you-know-what. Like, all right, it can't just be about the kid.
Yeah, I mean, listen, one guy that Evan's been compared to, and I don't always like the comparison thing, but is Giannis. And like when you talk about the Bucks, like you don't have that issue with Giannis. There's no
I mean, they traded Jabari Parker amongst others to open up the spots for him.
I can't fathom a world where like the Bucks are not prioritizing getting the ball to Giannis. And if Kenny's talking like this, if Kenny's talking like he's got to be an MVP caliber player, then that means you got to get your MVP caliber player the ball as much as possible. I agree.
216-474-0092. Are the Cavs asking too much of Evan Mobley? If they just put it on him, the answer is yes, even though we all agree Evan needs to be in those MVP conversations in the near future. And I never thought the day would come. I think I actually have to say, I have to push back on Hugh Jackson hate in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think I might have to defend Hugh Jackson here because CBS Sports put out the top 25 worst NFL coaching hires from the century. The number one, I don't even think it's up for debate. If I said since 2000, what's the worst NFL head coaching hire? We all are in agreement, right? What would you say, Spence?
Urban Meyer.
All right, Mac?
Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's exactly who it is. Number one with a bullet. Second to only Bobby Petrino, who got 13 games into the season and was like, I'm going to go ride my motorcycle at Arkansas. I'm done with this NFL thing.
They had one B was Bill Belichick with the Jets for like, what, a day?
Yeah, that was just Bill Parcells being kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
But so you think about this, like, okay, Cam Cameron of the Dolphins, three, Josh McDaniels for the Broncos at four, and then five is Nathaniel Hackett with the Broncos.
Who would have thought the Broncos had two in the top five before, like, the Browns and the Jets and the Bears and some of these other teams? That's kind of crazy.
Here's the same logic that can be used to talk about McDaniels can be used to be talked about the Browns' first candidate on this. It was a good hire at the time.
McDaniels,
like, Josh,
yeah.
When he got hired at Denver, to me, if we're going to put Josh McDaniels on this list, it's the Vegas one. Where he kind of did the McCarthy, where he's like, I am a changed man. I have learned to trust people. And then he only hired cronies and apparently didn't know how to treat players.
That's really fair. Didn't they make the playoffs under him with Denver? Wasn't that the year that the Broncos made it?
I think they were 9-7 the first year, but I can't remember if they're in the playoffs. Okay. And then the next year, it completely fell apart.
And then the year he was fired was the year that they made the playoffs, maybe with Tebow, and then they beat the Steelers.
No. That was John Fox's first year.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, listen, he did draft Tim Tebow. That is a fireable offense. with the 25th pick.
Unless he was told to draft Tim Tebow because they knew he was going to sell tickets.
That brings us to the Browns side of this thing. They've got Hugh Jackson at 11. And listen, Hugh, the head coach, you are not going to get any argument from me that Hugh was out of his depth as a head coach and that it just didn't work. Now, I could also, in fairness to Hugh, I could say, okay, he had the Raiders job after Al Davis died, and then he had the Browns job where he thought they were coming in to win and they decided that they were going to tank.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not as if Hugh, but thinking back to it, like, guys, I wanted Hugh Jackson.
In circles, they thought it was a great hire.
I saw the bravado that Hugh had. I didn't know it came with a lot of guff. I didn't know it came with a lot of things that would be said that didn't feel like the truth when he would say them. But, like, there's Hugh Jackson has no business. To me, this list has to balance two things. There's the results, how things started, how they played out, and how they ended, which do not favor Hugh. But then you also have to get to the beginning of it, of, like, was it justifiable at the time? Like, this was so much more justifiable at the time than Jim Tomsula taking over for Jim Harbaugh Nathaniel Hackett or Cam Cameron taking over in their situations.
I think the Adam Gase hire ends up being worse than
Gase thing. Like, Gase was thought, you're talking about the Jets job.
Yeah.
Like, he was widely thought of.
He was regarded as,
But
that's the same thing Hugh was. And that's to your point. Like, I remember when that all went down, and the consensus was that the Browns hire Hugh Jackson. It's no longer the same old Browns. Like, he was coming out, he was coming from Cincinnati. He had made Andy Dalton look like this great quarterback, and people were like, "Is Andy Dalton actually better than he had built this great offense?" And people were like, "This is the guy that's going to turn around the Browns." And to your point, they did decide to sort of pull the carpet out from underneath him and tank. But at the same time, like, Hugh was a bad coach. He was clearly not good. But I agree with you in that at the time of the hire, everybody around the league thought it was the right move.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And so I think that discounts. I also think, listen, I mean, I've had my things to say about Hugh. He didn't walk into a worse situation. In his first 5 months on the job, they let Mitchell Schwartz out the door. They lost Alex Mack, then no matter what. They lost to Sean Gibson. They lost Travis Benjamin. Lost a couple other players. And that was the first time they tried to screw over Joe Hayden with money. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What's traded down and drafted Corey Coleman. Look at his quarterbacks. Yeah. It was RG3 and I think, was that Josh's first year, I think?
Cody Kessler in there as well.
The Cody Kessler one he put on himself because he did the worst thing you can do, which is trust me.
Yeah, he said trust me.
You never say trust me unless you actually mean it, because we will trust you.
I think what, like, the problem with Hugh was that, like, he was his own worst enemy, and like he didn't handle those things well. It was and we saw, like, when Hard Knocks was there, we saw, like, Hugh in like his realest form, where it's like, hey, I used to be a coordinator, but I'm in charge now. Like, that was the stuff that I think was like, okay, this guy's clearly.
I'm going to continue to defend Hugh here. By the time we saw that, guys, he knew he was cooked. He knew he was cooked. Like, that was the John Dorsey year, right? Like, he knew that John Dorsey was.
But I.
He knew.
He could have started Baker, though. Like,
no, he could have.
He botched the Baker thing. He could have done so much better that last year to try to save his job.
He had been so undermined by the situation. And listen, when stress hit, he did not handle it well.
No. Wasn't he accused of, like, watching back people's press conferences? Like, wasn't he watching other people's press conferences to, like, find out what they said and then, like, yeah, that's like paranoia to another level.
Bad. He engaged negatively with the media as if, like, anything said about him wasn't fair. I will say, like, I don't know anyone who wouldn't have gone 3-30 and whatever with the way it went.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the Browns ruined Hugh. I think Hugh's a good offensive coordinator at the very least.
Not a good head coach, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know we ever got to know. Like, that year he was in Oakland, he was actually had some success with that team.
So here, like, as I look
but
at this
he
list,
he can't possibly be the worst that they've made, because, like, there's at least two that I can think are worse hires.
So here's the thing.
Just for Cleveland alone.
I think Hugh maybe should be on this list, but I actually think he should maybe flip places with, like, where the other Browns candidates fall, which is the 25th spot, where you have Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shurmur, Rod Chudzinski, and then Mike Pettine. Which, by the way, Mike Pettine being squeezed into that is disrespectful, because Mike Pettine was actually, I think, a good coach, and then it just didn't work out.
Here's the thing. It's lazy. You can't lump all five of those guys together because of the nuance of which they set in.
Right. But I would maybe flip that and put, if I'm going to put Hugh Jackson on there, I think he should probably be later on this list, just because I agree with you that at the time of that hire, people raved about it and thought he was going to turn the Browns around. Now, what I'm surprised, and I thought this to me, as you talk about, like, other ones I would say are more egregious, how is Freddie Kitchens not on this list?
Yeah.
That's the one that I'm like, this guy, okay, you want to say Hugh got undermined. Freddie was given the keys to the Corvette.
Yep.
And they were like, all right, just don't crash this thing. And he crashed the thing, lit it on fire.
He crashed
and
everybody's Corvette.
Yes. It was like, that was a disaster. That team was supposed to be good. They had everything going for them.
They were
you
a
had
year
the
later.
Quarterback. You were like, everything was supposed to be put together. And you hired Freddie Kitchens because, I mean, and that move single-handedly gets John Dorsey fired because like the roster building wasn't the problem. It was the fact that he got a chance to pick the coach and he picked the wrong coach. Like, how is that one not on here over all of these other ones? And Hugh Jackson is what surprised me. That should be like top five.
Here's the other thing. There's a critical part of logic here that I think has to be demonstrated, which is, was the rest of the league considering hiring that guy? No one was hiring Freddie to be the head coach ever. He was lucky to be an OC, and it seems like a great dude. Seems like he might have some stuff to deal with.
Well,
that's
why maybe he's not on the list, because I think he won people over with like his charisma.
He won over Baker.
And him acting like...
And he wasn't Greg Williams. That's why he was the head coach.
He came off as the everyman. He came off as like I'd grab drinks with this guy. It's the showing up, walking out of the movie theater with the Pittsburgh Star Edited shirt and all that. Like, people loved him for those things. But when you really got down to it, everybody realized he couldn't put a game plan together worth a damn, and his practices were a complete disaster, and that's how I don't know how this didn't make the list.
Hugh Jackson is the 11th worst head coaching hire of this century, according to CBS Sports. Is he even the Browns' worst hire? I think I got three hirings that I can go to before that, but we'll get to that later in the show. Again, Jeff Lowe of Barstool Sports, host of the Dozen Trivia. He's got something to say about Spider-Man, which is coming out this week. Superman, which is coming out this week. And he's a big Browns and Guardians fan. So we'll get to that coming up in 5 minutes with Jeff on 92.3 The Fan. Superman's coming out this weekend. If you guys haven't gotten tickets yet, it was filmed here. You're going to see a lot of Cleveland represented in the film. And so it is the big movie of the summer. And our next guest, and just going to talk about that, is also a big Cleveland sports fan. So he's got some takes on the way. You know him from Barstool. You know him as the host of the Dozen Trivia on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. It's Jeff Lowe. Jeff, welcome to the show.
What's up, Jeff?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me.
Dude, it's a Friday. It's summer. We're feeling good here. And I'm pretty excited about the Superman movie, not just because of the Cleveland stuff, because they got the right guy. I'm just curious, what were your thoughts coming away from watching Superman?
So I loved it. It is, if you're a fan of the Zack Snyder ones, the Man of Steel, it is a 180 would be an understatement from in terms of like going from serious to goofiness. But I think it works. It's fun. The guy who plays Superman is great. David Cronenberg is awesome. The whole cast is great. I could definitely see some people not loving it because it is a little silly. It's by James Gunn, the guy who did the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and the Suicide Squad, which is one of the few good recent DC movies. But it was a great time. Everyone in the theater loved it. I'm going again next week. So, yeah, it's a really good time. I think most people will love it. It's a fun, high-energy summer blockbuster. So, great stuff. And, yeah, a lot of Cleveland. Ton of Cleveland in it.
Jeff, as you graded this movie, I want to know where it falls on like all the movies you've seen this year. Where does it rank? Is it the highest rated movie you've seen? And as a follow-up to that, what is the movie that maybe hasn't come out yet that you're most looking forward to seeing the rest of this year?
So right now for me in the year, that comes on number 4 on my list for the year, which it has been a weaker year for movies. It's an 89 out of 100. I've only had two movies rated 90 or above. And above that, I have what we call Warfare, pretty good. What we call Friendship with Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd. I have that at number 2. And then Sinners with Michael B. Jordan.
That was good.
That's cleared the pack by a mile. That's number 1. And then the rest of the year, there's that Paul Thomas Anderson, Leonardo DiCaprio movie I'm excited for. The Safdie brothers did Uncut Gems. They have a Timothy Chalamet, like a ping pong movie coming out. They have the one with The Rock, where he plays, I think he's a mixed martial artist. I think he's MMA stuff. Another Avatar. So there's a lot of good stuff. Hopefully the year ramps up more. It's been not great. I advocate go to the movies every day you can possibly go. It's been a little weaker, but hopefully Superman kicks things in the year. Fantastic Four is in 2 weeks. I'm excited for that. There's some good stuff on the horizon.
Yeah, when you said Safdie brothers, Timothy Chalamet, and in ping pong, I honestly did. I was like, it was like the, I like the Safdie brothers, but I was like, wow, it is as if you made a movie that I would hate.
That's very fair. I mean, it's a shallow ping pong movie and then a very serious Dwayne The Rock Johnson movie. I mean, that both have the ability to be horrible, but also could be very, the Rock one, I'm crossing my fingers. If this is a failure, it might be time to fully retire from acting for The Rock, because it just may not be working.
I've always said young De Niro, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That San Andreas performance, I was like, oh man, this is shades of Pacino and Scarface, I thought.
He needs to go back. He's got to go back to the Fast and Furious franchise, which I guess they're going back to like L.A. street racing, which, spoiler alert, the last Fast and Furious movie ended. Again, I'll give everyone a 2-second spoiler alert. It ended with half of the characters, and I'm putting in air quotes, dying in a large plane crash. So I don't know how they're going to get back to street racing in L.A. after that. That's a pretty large turn of events.
They all have amnesia.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Feeling VHS's. Yeah, maybe, I guess.
Jeff, thanks for joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We were told that you have a lot of, not just movie takes, but also Cleveland sports takes. And speaking of movies, it feels like every day is a movie here with the Cleveland Browns, with their quarterback competition and everything going on there. I guess as you get ready for this upcoming Browns season, how do you feel about the outlook of a team that Vegas has a pretty low win total projected for? It's around like 5.5 in most places.
I mean, look, my expectations are very low, but I also have a very, I'm a very, very cynical Cleveland sports fan, and I, who isn't, but I have like a pretty large amount of hope. I don't know what it is, but I was never a big Shadur fan in college. I never really cared about them. I found myself rooting against them quite often. There's something about him with a chip on his shoulder, and he's a guy who, look, how many QBs have we seen, like rookies over the years, where it's like, you know, these mini camp darlings, like, oh, look at them. He posted a picture of the playbook. But like, Shador's just out there just throwing every day. Like, he's just a guy who, like, I think all he cares about is football, and that's giving me this, like, sense of hope that, like, you know what, he's got enough tools. The things that he has to fix, he can fix, right? Like, they're not like, it's not like, oh, hey, his release point stinks, he doesn't have good footwork, and he has no vision, but maybe he'll be, like, he has all, like, the tools. Well, I see no reason why he can't be good. I think the running back situation is kind of awesome. I'm bummed Nick Chubb is gone, but, like, let's be honest here. He was a shell of himself last year. I'm happy to see him go play for Kenya. I love the Samson and Judkins. I think that's going to be, I think it's going to be really fun this year to watch those two guys, no matter who the quarterback is. So, like, I'm feeling they're going to lose probably 12 games or more, but I think that's kind of okay. I can't wait to root against the Jaguars all year. I hope they stink. So, like, I don't, like, it's weird to say it, but I kind of am feeling positive. It's weird.
So it's funny. I'm with you on so many of those things. I've never been this optimistic for a 12 loss or more team. The Shador stuff's interesting because I didn't want him at 2. Then when they got him in the 5th round, I was like, well, I thought he was legit a 2nd or 3rd round pick. So I love the value of that. But they're so dead set on treating him like a 5th round pick, which I think is about humbling Shador on some level. My hope is they don't treat him like a 5th round pick all year long. I hope at some point you're like, he was drafted in the 5th round, but he's a 2nd round talent. Let's see him out there. Where do you fall on treating Shador like a 5th round pick all season long if you're the Browns?
I think, look, it's a lot of Stefanski speak, I think. It's pretty consistent, right, with what you hear from him and hear from his front office with rookies and stuff in the past. I think he's going to get the fair shake. I don't know why he wouldn't, right? Like, I think he's going to get the fair shake. I believe what Stefanski says, like, you know, the guys are going to get their reps, you know, they're kind of working through it all. Do I think he's going to start? No, and I don't know what, I think the team's bad enough where I'm not sure I want him thrown out there like that, but I do think there's a legitimate chance he can start or at least push for it. Because I do think right now, like you said, they are humbling him. I think they're trying to see him kind of have that chip on his shoulder and react to it properly. I hope what I'm saying is true. I hope he does get the fair shake to start and they're not dead set on what I assume is going to be. My gut is Pickett, right? Like, I do think they're trying to see if he's like a Darnold type situation. My gut, it's Pickett or Flacco probably, but I hope there's a chance he starts. So I do think he has it. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm being stupid, but I do think he has it.
I think this time of year, Browns fans do talk themselves into a lot of things. So I don't think you're alone in that, Jeff. And Jeff Lowe, again, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jeff, moving to the Guardians, I think everyone's familiar with the Klondike Bar commercial where they're like, what would you do for a Klondike Bar? What would you do to convince the Guardians to call up Chase DeLauder at this point?
So the only bad thing about the movie last night was I think the Metropolis Meteors care more about their team than the Guardians ownership does. So that made me mad watching that movie last night. That Superman's fighting in that stadium. I was just thinking about the Guardians the entire time. I don't know. I had a whole rant on this last week. So I had a take a couple years ago where I said that of the three teams I hate the most, it's the Guardians right now. People got really mad at me. They're like, what about the Browns? The Browns, yeah, the Browns stink. But the Browns try. The Cavaliers, say what you want about Dan Gilbert, The Cavs worked tirelessly to put a good product on the court. You can't deny that. And same with the Browns are terrible at trying, but they try. And there's something with the Guardians. The fact that this DeLauder kid is not up is baffling. This is like they're treating this like it's some sort of gap year. Like it's some sort of like, hey, it is what it is. And this is not an original take. I saw somebody say the way that they run this team is like, it's a fingers crossed, hey, maybe this year it'll come together again. And last year it did. It worked out in the regular season, and they got to the ALCS. And it seems like they crossed their fingers again, and it just didn't work. And look, I know they're trying to win deep down, but the fact they're not calling this kid up is making me question it so much to a point where I actually don't think it's that insane if someone's like, I think they're actually not caring about winning. Like, it's that crazy he's not up yet. Like, I don't get – like, the season's gone now for the most part. Like, I know they had the sweep the other day, but, like, they're so far back, and they struggle hitting so much. Like, at this point, what's the point at this point? I guess let them rot in AAA the rest of the year at this point, I guess.
So that actually leads us to where we're going to go later in the show. We brought up when the, you know what, really hit the fan earlier this year. I was the first person to point out that you got 2.5 years left of control on Stephen Kwan, and this is when that conversation happens of do you extend the player or do you deal him? I don't think he wants to take a hometown discount like Hosey did, which complicates this. So if you're the Guardians, do you pay a leadoff hitter with limited power $20 to $25 million a year, or in the next 6 months, do you say sayonara to Stephen Kwan?
I mean, I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself. I mean, at this point, if this is how they're going to act with contracts, if this is how they're going to act with young players, like, I guess you've got to see what you can get. They have a good history of getting good return. I would hate to lose him. You're right. Like, he is, like, he's a reliable leadoff hitter, but he's so, it's like, he's a guy where if you would have put the right pieces, if you would have, you know, gone that extra mile to try to figure something out in the offseason and build off an ALCS contender, he's a piece that he's a winning piece. But this is not a winning team right now, so you got to shop him, right? Like that, you have to at least see what you can get, because I'm sure there's a team that can use him that would overpay and have some sort of value for a guy like Kwan. But if this is how they're going to, like, go about things, we're like, hey, we got to punt down the line again, I guess you may as well, like the Cliff Lees and the Sabathias of the world, you got to do it, I guess. You got to at least look at it, which is so miserable to say, but I guess that's what the Guardians have done to me right now. I'd say miserable, like, outcomes are okay.
That's kind of where we are, too. Jeff, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate the send-up there on Superman. I'll be seeing it this weekend, and appreciate your take here. We're going to have you on more.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Hey, anytime, go Browns, Cavs, Guardians. So anytime, guys.
Thank you so much. Jeff Lowe there, Barstool Sports, host of the Dozen Trivia. The Dozen Trivia. It sounded like I said the Dozen Trivia. On the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Make sure to check out his stuff. He's got a big send up on why he gave Superman an 89 out of 100 on his social media handle. And really, really big, big, big Cleveland sports fan. We got a plan to get to, guys, but we do have the lead coming up in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.